God's word for our consideration this morning. God's word to nourish us. God's word to strengthen us. God's word to guide us in our living as we live as God's children in the world is from the gospel lesson, the first chapter of Luke. And I want to read just a little bit toward the end. The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so that the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Amazing. An amazing miracle that God has accomplished. You know, we can go outside on a clear night and we can look up into the sky and see the millions and millions and billions of stars that God created. We can hold a little child in our arms and we can look into its eyes and see the brightness that God has created. We can hold the hand in our own hand and marvel at the small little fingers. And think about how God has created that human being. We can go out in the countryside during a planting season. We can watch the crops be seeded. The fields be seeded, and we can watch the crops grow and then be harvested from a small little seed. God causes growth to happen. Amazing. Amazing that this God has done so many good things in our lives, and he continues to do. And he causes us with this amazing Word of God to stop and ponder what he continues to do, what he has already done in Jesus Christ. Amazing story here. I shouldn't even call it a story. An amazing miracle. The angel appears to Mary. And that angel says to Mary that she will be with child. How can this be? I don't have a husband. I don't have anyone in my life. And the angel says, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. And that child that you have will be called holy, the Son of God." Jesus. A mighty miracle, a startling announcement, makes us rejoice with all the joy that we have, even though we're struggling in our lives, even though we've heard of people dying because of the coronavirus. We've all heard the statistics. We've all heard the numbers of dying people and cases of those who are infected. And we wonder, can God stop it? God tells us about the mighty miracle that he has in Jesus Christ because he wants us to look to him and be joyful because of what he has done. That he brought Jesus into the world. And what did Jesus come to do? Is to save us from our sins. The sins that we have committed, that we know we have committed in thought, word, and deed. And those sins that we don't remember. Those sins that are in the back of our head. Jesus came to save us from those sins. A babe in Bethlehem who was born for us to take away the sins of the world. To take away our personal sins. So he comes. And he comes to give us a purpose in our lives.
He comes as a mighty miracle of God to cause us to praise Him and to give Him thanks for all things. There was a story that I was reading. I get these perspectives from a former synodical president, Gerald Kirchner. And he sends stories. This one was really something that stuck in my mind, because it was a man talking with an angel in heaven. And he was showing this man around, and he was showing him the mighty rooms that were there. And in one room, he showed this man a bunch of angels, a number of angels. And they were fervently writing. And the man asked the angel, "So what's going on here?" He says, "These are the angels that hear the prayers of the people, and they're writing them down as fast as they can to present to God." He showed him another room that was filled with angels. And he asked them what these angels were doing. "These angels are answering the prayers from God and giving the blessings to the people." He came to a third room. He opened up the door, and there was one single angel sitting there. Looked bored. Didn't have anything to do. So the man asked the angels, "What's this angel doing?" "This angel is receiving the thanks from the people after they've been blessed, after they've gotten all that they wanted. That angel is not very busy." When we think about our lives, what do? Do we wallow in our grief and mourning? Do we get upset that we're wearing masks and social distancing? Do we get angry at the government for placing these things upon us because they're trying to protect our lives? Do we thank God for them? This is the season of amazement. Jesus was given to us as a babe in Bethlehem, as a babe to take away the sins of the world. This is Jesus. And this babe shows to us that we have a dependence upon God, that our lives depend on what God does, that God has come into our lives. He's come into each and every one of our lives. And He has done something miraculous. He has brought us to faith in the Christ of Christmas through holy baptism. The pastor said, "I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." He has claimed each one of us as His own. But He doesn't stop there. In this season of amazement, He shows to us that He continues to care for us, continues to care for us in our sicknesses, in our broken bones, our broken lives. He continues to say, "This is Jesus, the Son of God, who will take away your sin, who will give you eternal life, give you the life that will never end." This is that amazing season that we have. And our response needs to be rejoicing. Rejoicing in the Christ of Christmas. Rejoicing that God has blessed each and every one of us. It's hard to watch families grieve now, because they're limited in numbers. Yesterday, we had a small funeral for a well-known lady in Lake City. There was only 10 people there, 10 of her family. It was private because of what we're going through. But that didn't stop them from living and hearing the Word of God as they pondered And as they knew that their loved one was now living with Jesus, it's an amazing mystery sometimes how God works and how God brings us into his kingdom, but also how God continues to nourish us and continues to strengthen us, continues to come into our lives to cause us to be transformed into new creatures, into new people. In the first letter of Peter, his first epistle, first chapter, third verse, it tells about the living hope that we have. Not through anything that we do, but through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And if Jesus wasn't born, then there would be no Easter. There'd be no joy. So there is joy in this amazing season that we have around us. The joyful lights. Yes, even though we sing some songs that we've never heard before, it's still rejoicing. It's rejoicing in what God has indeed given us, the greatest gift of eternal life. One day, this little girl had invited a friend over, and her father came with her. And they were marveling at all the pretty dolls upon the shelf of her bedroom. There were some that were porcelain, and some in fancy dresses, but all of them looked beautiful and radiant in joy. And the stranger asked, "Which one of these dolls is your favorite?" She sat down on the bed. She reached her hand down underneath the bed, pulled out a shoebox, put the shoebox on the bed, opened it up, and here came out a doll that looked terrible, ransacked. The shirt was torn, leg was missing, arm was hanging by a thread, looked dirty and filthy. And the stranger asked her, "Why is this such a precious doll for you?" And she responded, "If I didn't love this doll, nobody would." God loved us, still loves us. And while we were yet sinners, Paul says in his letter to the Romans, Christ Jesus died for us. It began on Christmas. You know, as I read through that story of the girl going underneath the bed, I was reminded of a little, I don't know what you call it, bunny. We called it Funny Bunny. Gave it to my granddaughter when she was born. She still has it 14 years later. And it's precious to her. She carries it everywhere she goes. And you see, God carries us everywhere we go. He carries us in our sorrows. He carries us in our dreams. He carries us as precious dolls that we are, even though we're stained by sin. And this is that amazing time where Mary said to the angel, "Be it done unto me as God would have me," as God would have all of us, as his servants, as his witnesses here in the world. In Christ's holy name, amen.